It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, one and all. It is August 26th, 2021. And it's 1901 UTC. Wow. Almost on time. Unbelievable. Just wow.
That's correct.
All right. Well, hello, hello. There's a lot of news going on today. I've got a headache, and it's beer day, so I'm going to have to try and recover so that I can make it to the happy hour / beer gathering. We meet once a week outside at this. There's several bars that have outdoor patios in Austin, and there's a crew of about five or six of us. We've all got our vaccinations, and we go and have a beer after work. So, that's beer day. So it's after work. Don't worry. It's at, let's see, if it's 1900 UTC, around 2200, 2100, 2200 UTC is when we go out. So, anyway, what fun. Lots of fun. Lots of stuff going on today. Work is exciting, but the best part, I'm off tomorrow. So, I am going to have some fun. All right. Well, I'm not going to ramble on. I will ramble on and on and on just because that's what I do. I like to talk, but
it's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
Let's get going. Let's go ahead and start up with some world news.
World news.
All right. So, of course, everyone knows about all the popular big stuff going on, and we'll touch on it, but there's a bunch of little stuff happening. It's not so little to the people that have died, but, you know, it's stories that I like to report on so that we get a full picture of the world. First, we've got a couple of COVID stories. Not the kind you're used to, though. Well, kind of, maybe. Lisa Shaw, presenter's death due to complications of COVID vaccine. A radio presenter died due to complications from the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, a coroner has found. Lisa Shaw worked for BBC Radio Newscastle, dead at age 44 in May after developing headaches a week after getting her first dose of the vaccine. Newcastle coroner Karen Dilks heard Ms. Shaw suffered blood clots in the brain, which ultimately led to her death. The inquest heard the condition linked to the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine was very rare. The coroner said Lisa died due to complications of an AstraZeneca COVID vaccination. Ms. Dilks said Ms. Shaw was previously fit and well, but concluded that it was clearly established that her death was due to a very rare vaccine-induced thrombic thrombocytopenia, a condition which leads to swelling and bleeding of the brain. So, Ms. Shaw, oh no, Ms. Shaw, a mother of one from Consett, received her first dose of the vaccine on April 29th. On May 13th, she was taken to ambulance to the University Hospital of North Durham after having a headache for several days. That doesn't sound good. In a statement, Dr. Holmes, John Holmes, who treated her, said she complained of having a severe headache, shooting and stabbing across her forehead and behind her eyes. Tests were carried out, and blood clots were found in her brain, prompting her to be being moved to the neurology specialist unit at Newcastle's Royal Victoria Infirmary. So, very scary indeed. Doctors say do exactly what she did and go to the hospital if you get a headache. We don't have AstraZeneca vaccine in the U.S., and that's good because, oh lordy, if you went to the hospital because you had a headache, you would be bankrupt before you even knew it. Well, what else is happening? Well, don't worry. AstraZeneca is not the only vaccine causing trouble. In Japan, they've suspended 1.63 million Moderna doses over contamination. Foreign substances were found in unused vials, raising shortage concerns as the country tries to accelerate vaccinations amid a COVID surge. Vaccine after reports of contamination in several vials, drug maker Takeda and the health ministry have said. Takeda Pharmaceutical Company, which is in charge of sales and distribution of the Moderna shot in Japan, on Thursday said it had received reports from several vaccination centers that foreign substances have been found inside unopened vials. So, trouble in Japan, upon consultation with the health ministry, we've decided to suspend the use of the vaccine from 3 whole batches from Thursday. The firm said it had informed Moderna and requested an urgent investigation. Moderna did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Of course not. They've got your money already. Takeda did not detail the nature of the contamination, but said it had not so far received any reports of health concerns arising from affected doses. Contaminants were seen inside vials from 1 of 3 batches, but officials suspended the use of vials from the other 2 as a precaution. We have not received reports of health problems stemming from the foreign object, he told reporters, but we're asking people to consult their physicians if they experience any abnormality. So, if you got a shot in there, it sounds like they saw stuff floating around in the vials, is what it sounds like. And that's a great segue to mention. If you want to participate in the show or hang out and talk and chat, that's what Calm is for. Or one of the main amazing benefits and features of Calm. All you have to do is SSH over to SDF. That's the super-dimensional fortress where we all stay and live. Just SSH over to new, if you don't have an account, new@sdf.org. And then you'll follow a sign-up process. Once you're in, just type COM, C-O-M, and then G for go to, a non-radio, all lowercase. And once you do that, press enter, and that will take you to the non-radio room, and you'll get to hang out with all the cool people, like SMJ and Stug, X1 and M Stoney. Jazz Maz is always listening and usually around, and the Dubious Goals Committee, co-chairperson himself, Tobe, will be around, and lots of other people. There's cool stuff you can do. You can play Netris. You can press the equal sign to see current and upcoming shows and the schedule, all that kind of stuff. So there's a language paste experiment with DJ Horse Paste at 2100 hours. That seems like a new show, so definitely check that out. The Mentos The Fresh Maker show is at midnight or 000 UTC tonight. So super cool, super fun. Check out the schedule and yeah, just check it out. SDF's pretty cool. All right. Well, what else is happening? I've got a cool how would I
get put the news? Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay. I guess we'll just say there's another COVID story here. A rundown South African railway station has been converted into an unlikely vaccination site, where a shiny white train brings jabs to remote areas and boosts sluggish uptake. That's right, there's a COVID train, a vaccination train. One by one, people waiting in plastic chairs spaced out across a platform in the town of Springs, 50 kilometers east of Johannesburg, were called to board a vaccine center on rails, the Transvaco. We want to try and vaccinate as many people as possible in a short space of time and bring vaccines closer to rural areas, the train's manager, Pabalo Mokwana, told AFP on Wednesday. Funded by state logistics firm Transnet, the train has the capacity to jab 600 people per day in the specially refurbished carriage lined with vaccination cubicles. Its 8 other carriages are used for accommodation, storage, staff dining, electricity generation, and other essentials. After a 2-week stint in Springs, the train will set off next month for a 3-month swing through impoverished Eastern Cape Province. But less than 100 people have showed up per day since Transvaco opened its doors on Monday. The low turnout is largely blamed on lack of awareness and vaccine hesitancy hindering inoculation. Uptake, slightly boosted since the eligible age was lowered from 34 to 18 last week, has remained generally low. Someone's quoted as saying, "I'm still too scared," said Zechariah Matuludi, 28, spraying incomers with hand sanitizer. "The chemicals, I don't know how my body will respond to them." Sitting in a makeshift post-vaccine observation area on the other side of the platform, 40-year-old Olive Salati said she had delayed the process after hearing a lot of stories. In the background, a healthcare worker briefed a small group of people about vaccine types, precautions, and possible side effects. So, pretty troubling, especially, you know, like that first story we had, you know, back in May, the AstraZeneca jab, somebody ended up with a complication and died, and they happened to be a TV radio personality. So, very, troubling. But I thought this was really cool and an innovative idea. Just bring the train, and then that way even little towns who might have been, you know, 100 kilometers away from a place that would have had vaccines, they can just go to the train station. So anyway, that's pretty cool.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
So, you know, we'll get a song out. We've just got a couple more songs stories to throw out there. Two more, to be exact. First, Stalin-era mass grave found in the Ukraine. Oh, mass graves. That's exciting. That sounds like news to me. What may be one of the Ukraine's largest Stalin-era mass graves has been identified by researchers. The remains of between 5,000 and 8,000 people were found in 29 graves in the southern city of Odessa. The site, believed to date back to the late 1930s, was uncovered during exploration works for a planned expansion of an airport. Hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians are believed to have died during Joseph Stalin's rule of the Soviet Union. Sergei Gutsolik, the head of the regional branch of Ukraine's National Memory Institute, told AFP that the victims were likely to have been killed by the Soviet secret police during the late 1930s. 1930s. However, he said it would not be possible to identify the victims as any records were held in Russia. According to the Ukrainiform website, around 8,600 people were in Odessa. In Odessa were sentenced to death by the Soviet secret police between 1938 and 1941. The National Memory Institute had initially said it was not possible to estimate the number of people executed, but that it already appeared to be one of the largest mass graves ever found. One of the historians who worked on the discovery, Alexander Babich, said on Facebook that there were likely to be even more bodies than had already been found, as excavations had not been completed in some parts of the site. Yeah, I'm not sure. It's very interesting that they would bring this up. So this is similar to, I think this story is very similar to kind of the all the graves that they found at the residential schools in Canada and that will likely dig up here in the United States. It's like they're crimes of the past that maybe weren't mentioned then. It's always interesting. It's kind of more of a learning thing, I guess, at this point. Maybe closure for families, I don't know. Anyhow, that's pretty heavy. One other story here, and we'll play a song because, man, when things get heavy...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
The Niger Army repels Boko Haram attack and says 16 soldiers were killed. Hundreds of Boko Haram militants attacked a military post in southeastern Niger overnight, killing 16 soldiers and wounding 9 more, the defense ministry said on Wednesday. About 50 of the Islamist militants were killed in the resulting combat in the West African country's Diffa region, and significant quantities of weapons were recovered. The attack late targeted the town of Borora, where thousands of residents had only just returned after taking refuge elsewhere following jihadist massacres in 2015. So, the Boko Haram insurgency broke out in northeastern Nigeria in 2009, but violence spilled over into Chad, Niger, and Cameroon. So, this is pretty cool because it's a successful defense of the homeland by the soldiers, and I thought that was cool. And you don't actually hear anything about Boko Haram or a lot of Africa in your regular news. So, thought that was cool.
Get the news over with. All right.
Today's song comes to us thanks to a person who's a proud owner of a field that's leased to fracking. That is RuPaul. And this is Party Train.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah. Is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. And as you heard earlier, SDF, that's where you go if you want to jump into comm, hang out. We were talking about Snowpiercer just a little bit ago. And the sounds that Train makes. Because onomatopoeias are not universal, which is kind of cool. Alright, well, we are at 18 minutes past the hour, which means we have 12 minutes, 11 minutes and some change to get all the news out. So let's talk about what's going on. The big story on all the news channels, you can't escape it if you try to watch cable news or TV news. Sorry, you only get one story today. General McKenzie says the U.S. is coordinating with the Taliban and is doing everything they can to prepare for attacks. There was a pair of twin suicide bombings right there outside the airport in Kabul. The Pentagon is giving a briefing on today's events about 16 minutes ago. So there will be some updates to the story probably after you hear me talk about it. At least 12 U.S. service members were killed, and there are reports that it was 11 Marines and a Navy medic. And what else? At least 60 other people were dead, 140 wounded in explosions at the Kabul airport. So, yeah. So just be aware that, yeah, there were 60 people are dead, 140 are wounded, so that's 200 there, at least 11 Marines, and then they're saying 11 Marines and a medic were killed. So we will hear more soon enough, because, yeah, that's what's going on right now. So yeah, anyway, it's a live story, it's a news story that happened just earlier today, and so they've been updating it every couple of minutes, so it's really hard to talk about. Especially if you're hearing this on the recording through the archive, but yeah, anyway, just as a heads up, that is what's going on.
All aboard!
Sorry, I clicked the wrong button. Alright, so what else is going on? Well, the good news, a first group of Afghan evacuees fleeing the Taliban have arrived in Uganda. A flight carrying Afghan evacuees fleeing the Taliban takeover touched down early Wednesday in Uganda, where they'll be given temporary refuge, government and diplomatic officials said. So this will be great. There's been a lot of concern because the United States is notoriously bad for refugees. We just keep sending them back where they came from, or we throw them into prison, or we keep them in cages outside. Just in general, it's not a good place if you're not going to be, you know, anyway, the United States isn't necessarily the safest place to go. But they're just having trouble getting anywhere. So a lot of people aren't even technically refugees yet because they're just trapped in Afghanistan, in Afghanistan. So anyway, thoughts and prayers, all that kind of stuff. I feel bad. Hopefully, will be able to get out of there. These explosions going on, it's kind of iffy. You know, I could see it go. It could go either way. The United States could be like, "This is what they see. This is why we can't leave. We gotta go drop bombs on them some more." Or we'll just leave. It's kind of a tragedy either way, and it's going to be a hot topic of discussion. You know what else, though? It's important that it's a discussion, because in Armenia, mass brawls have erupted for 3 times in the past 2 days. A mass brawl erupted inside the Armenian Parliament building for the 3rd time in just 2 days. Wednesday's altercation is said to have started after the opposition leader, Vahi Hakobian, was heckled for calling Prime Minister Nicole Pashinyan a lying populist. The Speaker of the House called on security personnel to remove several members from the Parliament floor in an attempt to end the disturbance. So, yeah, so very, very troubling, very surprising there. Yeah, going back to calm here, yeah, it's pretty rough. The United States is having a hard go of things. So yeah, it's just, yeah, the homeless problem is a big problem in the United States too. In Tanzania, gunfire erupted near a French embassy and at least 5 people have been killed. Tanzania's president on Wednesday said 5 people are dead, including 3 police officers, after a gun battle with an armed man near the French embassy in Dar es Salaam. It was not immediately clear whether the shootout in the heavily guarded diplomatic area was a terror attack. Oh, this is a great name. Liberatus Sabas, Tanzania's head of police operations, said the gunman attacked 2 police officers, took their guns, and then began shooting sporadically towards the French embassy. He then took cover at a structure next to the French embassy, where he continued shooting. Sounds like Grand Theft Auto. Inspector General of Police Simon Siro told reporters the armed man was a foreigner, and police believed he was from Somalia. Siro also warned that the attack could be linked to the jihadist insurgency in neighboring Mozambique, where the growing number of African nations are jointly pursuing the fighters. The confrontation occurred shortly after President Samia Suluhu Hassan addressed security officers in another part of the city, Tanzania's commercial hub. The president later said 3 officers, a member of the auxiliary police, and an armed man were killed, and she ordered an investigation. The U.S. Embassy and enough security alert warned citizens to avoid the area. The shootout occurred not far from the scene of the deadly bombing in 1998 at the U.S. Embassy. So, stuff going on there. A positive spin, or a positive one. I'm trying to sprinkle some more positive stories in here, or at least relatively positive for the people that are involved. We've got oil palm. So, I think this is very interesting because palm oil and palm oil plantations in the in Southeast Asia have been kind of shown as these terrible, have been kind of hated on because they people deforest natural jungles and stuff to grow these giant palms and then end up being really bad for the environment to grow this oil that people then think is healthy and good for the environment. But it's good that it's in high demand because it's really helping out places like Uganda. Edwin Kisika first planted oil palm in 2013. Since the introduction of its cultivation in 2005, more farmers keep embracing the crop. As they prepare to plant new trees in March, oh shucks, I accidentally had paused calm. So my bad, I may have missed comments. As they prepare to plant new trees in March next year, they are battling price changes, environmental impact, and a fertilizer shortage. I think the biggest challenge is the price fluctuation, but I think farmers have now learned how to deal with that. The second challenge is about the fertilizer. We get the fertilizer expensively. It's something the government should look into. We need to have, say, an input shop where a farmer can just walk in and pay for the fertilizer, but still at a fair price and not counterfeit fertilizers. A kilogram of the edible vegetable oil costs $1, but this can be improved. Uganda's palm oil exports totaled $45 million in 2020. The government has partnered with private companies to strengthen and broaden the market for a crop that's turning lives around in one of Uganda's poorest districts. So, at least $280,000 is generated from palm oil on Sea Islands. It's S-S-E-S-E Islands. I'm not sure how you say the two S's together. Sea Islands alone every month. There are not less than 1 million trees grown. Razaya Athman, African news correspondent, says the farmer on these islands have been enjoying the monopoly of cultivating oil palm but now the project's being extended to other parts of the country. Those new to the crop are taking their chances in what accounts for 33% of global oils. X1, 5 minute blink. Oh, cool. Well, today, we're going to run out of time. We've got just a couple minutes to go. So I'm going to kind of run through these stories a little bit quicker. So sorry if it's hard to follow. Alexei Navalny says he's forced to watch 8 hours of state TV a day. Russian opposition leader tells of brainwashing and propaganda in jail, but remains optimistic the Putin regime will end sooner or later. So that's wild. Imagine being forced to watch 8 hours of Fox News or MSNBC when your political beliefs don't align with that channel. That would drive you batty, I'm sure. Libya is being plagued by pollution. With untreated sewage in the water and rubbish piled up on the sand, pollution on Tripoli's Mediterranean coast is denying residents of the war-torn Libyan capital a much-needed escape. The Environment Ministry last month ordered the closure of a number of beaches along the 30-kilometer Greater Tripoli coastline despite the roasting heat. Situation is catastrophic. So, good luck there in Libya. Hope you figure that out. Lebanon is about to run out of water. Lebanon's water supply system is on the verge of collapse. In July, a report published by UNICEF warned that most water pumping would gradually cease across the country within 4 to 6 weeks as the country's power grid falters. More than 70% of Lebanon's population faces critical water shortages, UN's child agency warns. You can read more about that at Al Jazeera. And Bangui men go beyond genderberry and thrive on the beauty industry. In the Central African Republic, a rare profession is cropping up among the least expected group of people. A group of men is thriving through the lucrative manicure business. Despite being touted as a profession that attracts mainly women, this group of men, led by Debonair Coley, finds it worthy. So, that's kind of interesting. Gender politics and stuff like that in Africa is very touchy. Portland gunfight fuels alarm over growing use of weapons at rallies. The far-right Proud Boys regularly carry handguns, and other groups have adopted less lethal weapons. A gunfight in Portland, Oregon last week is intensifying concerns over escalating violence during contentious rallies in the city, as far-right demonstrators and anti-fascist counter-protesters have repeatedly faced off. They charged a 65-year-old man from Gresham, Oregon, over a gunfight in the downtown last month. And months after the Makia Bryant killing, Columbus police more emboldened than ever. Since 2013, officers in Columbus, Ohio, have killed children at a higher rate than most other U.S. police forces, but they lack any real accountability. And that what's funny to me is that then other U.S. police forces. That just means, yeah, police, there's a rate of killing children in all the U.S. police forces. Anyway, we're out of time, but thanks you so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for